I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Bill Donabedian. Bill is a very well-known name in the Cincinnati community, primarily because you started something called the Midpoint Music Festival back in 2002 that was sold to City Beat. But I think most people know your name because you were the managing director of Fountain Square during those critical years when we all watched and just couldn't believe how you transformed Fountain Square into what it is today. But you did that for, what, 5 years or so?
Yeah, a little over 5 years.
And now you are on your own again. You started two great music festivals, Bunbury and Buckle Up Music Festivals. So let's talk about what you learned, Bill. So you were on your own, is your own business, go to a big organization, back to your own business. How do you take some of those lessons and how do you feel like you're a better business owner now because of it?
Well, I had always been an entrepreneur out of college, really. Started helping with the family business. And then actually worked at Convergys for a bit before 3CDC. And what I learned from that, it was a great experience. It really was, because I can say I've done everything from the mom and pop shop to corporate America to even a quasi-government entity like 3CDC. And the lesson I learned was I need to work for myself. I really like being the boss. I like being in control. And I trust myself more than, you know, I trust my career and with myself than anyone else, more than anyone else. So I really enjoy that. So the things that used to kind of bother me before, dealing with paperwork and having to run, you know, accounting and payroll, I don't mind that so much anymore.
It's a little different when you're doing it for your own business than when you're doing it because someone's asking you for it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I do think one of the biggest things is if you can go out on your own, if you can have your own business, you're building equity for yourself. It's very hard to build wealth. There are very few ways to do it, really. But one is if you can build a successful business over time, you can build that kind of equity where otherwise you're building it for someone else.
If you really think about it, you're passionate about what you do. So for you, who can take what you love because you're a musician, mm-hmm. you've been in music your whole life, and really create a business of your own from that, you're blessed to be able to do that.
It's a cliche, but it's true. Do what makes you happy. The money will follow as a consequence. Because if you're doing something and you're doing it very well, you'll eventually get paid for it.
That's wonderful advice. Well, Bill, thank you so much and good luck with the music festivals. I know they'll be great.
Thank you.
And if people, again, would like information about the music festivals or learn more, what's the website?
BunburyFestival.com and BuckleUpFestival.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Bill Donabedian. Bill is the founder of the Bunbury Music Festival and also the Buckle Up Music Festival. And Bill, one of the questions I have is, you started both these festivals really on a blank sheet of paper, I guess. What's it like to vision what this is like, and how do you organize all the parts to get it to work as smoothly as they have?
You're right. What I used to go down to Sawyer Point a lot with my two-year-old son at the time and walk the park constantly. While he was playing, I was looking around and figuring out what it would look like. I even went to Lollapalooza 1 year just to see. And actually, while I was at Lollapalooza, I kind of got a little knot in my stomach. Like, I'm really going to do something like this. But it's about relationships. I've been very fortunate over my long career to have met a lot of great people. And when you just talk about the essence, like you're saying, talk about the vision, it's amazing. By giving them the freedom to do what they do best, they'll deliver it for you. And I saw it the first year at Bunbury when I walked onto the site, and there are cranes and there are things being set up. I had no idea how they got there. All I knew is there was Debbie, there's Grant, there's Susie, and they're just doing their thing. Like, this is no big deal, you know? Yeah, I brought in a 80-foot tall stage. What's the big deal? You know? And I'm just sitting back and watching it all happen. So I think that's it. You have the vision, you convey the passion, and then you let people do their job, and they will amaze you every time.
It still pretty much boggles my mind how you were able to convince Alabama, Willie Nelson, the band Perry, and Eli Young Band to come to your festival.
Well, money does a lot in convincing. Being serious, Niederlander handles the agency side of it for us. We'll sit down and brainstorm, talk about the kind of acts we would like to see. I come, you know, with a budget and everything like that. And it's their long-standing relationship that they've had with a lot of these agencies that help procure these bands and negotiate these things. And then you've got David Steed, who comes in and at the end, who's the one who advances with the artists and really helps get together with a touring manager and brings it all together. So that's how it all happens, really.
What are some of the challenges? For people listening, it sounds wonderful. It sounds like all this stuff just happens. And I know you are a real delegator and believe in great people. But what are some of the challenges that you think that people should be aware of as they try to execute on their own vision and dream?
Well, I really think you can never plan for everything. You are going to get caught with your pants down. So the thing is by surrounding yourself with great people, they're the ones who will bail you out every time. I can go back through every aspect of my career, especially live events, when something happens right then and there, and someone always rises to the occasion. You got to give your people, you've got to empower them, you've got to hold them accountable, and as I said, they will surprise you every time.
Well, that's wonderful. If people listening would like more information about Bunbury or the Buckle Up Music Festival, where can they get that?
They can go to bunburyfestival.com or buckleupfestival.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Tom, I think everyone dreams of retirement, but unfortunately for a lot of people, they may never see retirement come. Let's talk about some things that people can do now to help them achieve their retirement dreams.
Well, you know, the saying is, it's never too late and it's never too early to save for retirement. So the key is, whatever you've done in the past, start saving now. And if you're already saving, save more.
You know, it's funny because I think a lot of people think of retirement as a time when things will cost less. They may not need as much money. And it's like, right, I'm thinking when I retire, it's going to be expensive, Tom, just so you know. I want to travel. I want to do all these different things. So let's talk about what people should have put aside for retirement if they want to live the lifestyle that they've become accustomed. And if not, they may have to rethink their lifestyle.
Well, a good guideline is that you're going to need 70 to 80% of your current income as your retirement income. But that's only a guideline. It's going to vary depending upon what your individual needs are. If you want to travel a lot, particularly early in retirement when you're healthy enough to do so, that may take more money. On the other hand, if you're not as healthy, maybe you're going to stay home more, but you may have higher medical expenses. So you need to make sure that's budgeted for. You really have to look at your lifestyle and determine what your expenses will be in the retirement that you envision for yourself.
You know, what's just amazing to me is how many people do not have a plan. They do not have a retirement plan, and they think they do in their mind, but unless it's on paper, in my mind, it's just an idea. You really need to have a plan on paper, not just a hope and a prayer that you're going to achieve what is necessary to be able to retire.
Well, not only do you need to have a plan, but once you establish a plan, you need to revisit that plan, at least on an annual basis, to see if you're still on track. Chances are you won't follow that plan exactly. The investment world won't be as predictable as your plan would indicate, and you just have to adjust that plan year by year.
And my advice to people is, don't try to do this on your own. You know, you're only going to have this opportunity one time. So go out and seek advice. Find people who can help you maximize retirement goals and retirement plans so that you can achieve your goals. Because guess what? When it comes time to retire and you don't have those funds in place, it's going to be hard to produce them. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Crystal, one of the questions we get fairly regularly from people who are close to retirement, who have saved for retirement, have a retirement plan, is, okay, I've saved this money. I have some money in qualified retirement accounts. I have some money in other investment accounts that are not retirement accounts. They're just savings type vehicles. Where should I start drawing my money first?
You're right. That is a very common question. And a lot of it depends on your overall financial situation.
And I guess we'll back up a minute and say, even if you're not close to retirement, it is important to try to have money in what I call different buckets. Qualified retirement accounts, such as an IRA or a 401k, taxable investments, such as your brokerage account, post-tax retirement accounts, such as Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks. And then when you do retire, you can strategically decide how to take money from those accounts and minimize the tax consequences.
And there have been some rules recently that allow you to achieve putting money in those various buckets. For example, for the last several years, certain taxpayers have been able to roll over non-deductible IRAs into Roth IRAs, regardless of the income threshold. And there's lots of rules around that, but in certain cases that can work. So to your point, Tom, that is one way that people can get money into a Roth IRA where they otherwise could not have previously been able to do that.
Well, and in addition, in recent years, they've added Roth 401ks, and there's no income restriction on those. So instead of making your 401k contribution, in effect, tax deductible, you can make it post-tax and build up money in a Roth 401k account that will come to you tax-free in retirement.
Yes, and being tax professionals, I think we both agree that taxes are probably going nowhere but up over the next several years. So that's another consideration and reason to have money in different buckets so that you can take advantage of pulling money out in light of whatever the tax rate happens to be.
So the point is, when you get close to retirement, you should look at all your accounts in coordination with your advisor, your professional advisor, determine which accounts you should take money from in which proportion to minimize the tax consequences.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Michael LaRosa. Michael is the Chief Executive Officer of LaRosa's Inc. And Michael, I think everybody in Greater Cincinnati probably knows who LaRosa's is, and most of us know that you're actually celebrating a pretty big milestone this year, your 60th year in business.
That's right. My father, Buddy, started in 1954 over on the west side of Cincinnati, and we're very proud to be celebrating that 60th milestone, which, you know, in the restaurant industry, you don't see that too very often, because I think the casualty rate in food service is among the highest of all industries. It's not an easy business.
It's an achievement to last 5 years in the restaurant business,
yeah,
I think, don't
I think
you?
So, yeah.
And,
so,
you know, certainly things have changed in those 60 years. I would assume 60 years ago you couldn't dial, you know, your phone number and get a pizza delivery, could you?
No, not at all. The world changes. And, of course, one of the secrets to success and, you know, as far as sustainability in any business is that you remain relevant with your guests. And as their lifestyles change and their needs and wants and desires and tastes change, you have to remain relevant. And that's certainly something that we've, you know, also been able to do. And being around this long, you know, that's how you survive.
Well, do you feel like there's more pressure and more responsibility on you as chief executive officer because it's your name on the sign and, you know, it's your family business that you've had for all these years?
You know, I wouldn't use the word pressure, but responsibility I do warm up to, because I welcome the responsibility that's associated with the role that I have leading our organization. I'm the oldest son in our family, and I guess there's something about the oldest child also. Responsibility is something that's kind of in your DNA. But, I'm very proud of what my father has been able to build, really starting from scratch. He didn't have a college education. He had no capital. He didn't have a marketing plan. He's just a very, very good person who made some good choices, and he always says the good Lord always looked out for him. When there was a need, somebody showed up that could provide him with something, and that's one of the reasons he's such a generous person, is because he knows that success isn't something you do on your own. Everybody has their hand in it.
Well, it's a great Cincinnati story, Mike. Thanks for everything that you and LaRosa's do for the greater Cincinnati community. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Michael LaRosa. Michael is the Chief Executive Officer of LaRosa's Inc. And Michael, I know you're celebrating your 60th anniversary this year at LaRosa's. 60 years ago, I guess you started with one location. How many are you up to now?
Today, we're operating a total of 63 restaurants throughout the greater Cincinnati market. And we have units in Northern Kentucky, the Cincinnati area, we're as far north as Dayton, and we have a couple of units in Indiana as well.
Well, that's almost a little bit over one a year, so that's pretty good steady growth, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, what is it challenging with 60-some locations? Is it challenging to make it so that when a customer goes into one location, they get the same experience as they would have in another, the same type of food, the same quality?
Well, you know, all business is challenging. I mean, if it was easy to be successful and good at something, there'd be many, many more success stories. But I think one of the keys that has enabled us to remain strong for 60 years is that we really value our people. I mean, we've been blessed with some awesome franchise owners that operate. Really, two-thirds of our stores are franchised. So we have individual owners inside the four walls with their hands on the controls, you know, putting a lot of love and care and attention into the business. And we value our franchisees probably more than most typical franchise concepts do. We look at them as extended family members, and we want them to be successful so that we're successful. And I think that attitude has served us. So I think it's a combination of focusing on quality people. You have to have a quality product. You have to be relevant and serve the needs of the guest. And as change occurs, you know, you've got to make good decisions. But good people, good product, good service, 60 years is possible.
Yeah. Well, some of us don't know all of those things about your restaurant, but I think we recognize the good people because you see that on the service side, and we certainly recognize the good product. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Teresa Tanner. Teresa is the Executive Vice President and Chief Human Resource Officer at Fifth Third Bank. Teresa, you are the, as I mentioned, Chief Human Resources Officer at Fifth Third, and under your leadership, you continued training programs, development programs for your employees at a time when most other banks were cutting back. Why is that important to you, and what's been the impact of that?
Well, it's important to us because we believe if we invest in talent, then we're going to build the best bank. And, you know, we've put a lot of investment into development programs and our culture and employee engagement. So, for example, the last few years, we've won Gallup's Great Workplace Award twice. And we don't take this for granted. This is a prestigious award. Only one of 35 companies across the globe gotten this honor. And it really speaks to the investment we made when it wasn't easy to make the investment. We had to make some tough choices. But it was important to us because we knew that having the right talent was critical to our success.
How difficult is it to maintain the talent once you acquire the talent, once they start working at Fifth Third Bank? How difficult is it to keep people there, the younger generation, where everybody says, you know, they're going to go through 7 or 8 or 9 jobs during their career? How do you try to keep that to a minimum?
Well, it has to be a focus every day. This can't be something you do one time and offer one benefits package or one training class. It has to be the way you work. And, you know, we think about our employees much like we do our customers. They're not replaceable. And every day it's an honor that they are with us. And so we have to make investments in them, and we have to make sure that we create an environment where they can do their best work and appreciate them for what they do and give them the opportunity to do what they do best.
I know, Teresa, that your company, Fifth Third, is very much into community engagement, mm-hmm. giving back. Can you talk about that and how that has had an impact on what you're just saying?
Sure, absolutely. And community service is one of our strategic pillars. It's one of our leadership competencies. You know, a good example of that is annually we celebrate Fifth Third Day, and that's May 3rd, 5-3 on the calendar. That's our annual company holiday. And we really use that day to give back to our customers, our employees, and our community. And one of the things we've been doing in the last couple of years is attacking hunger. And for example, due to the generosity and commitment of our employees, we have been able to provide over 1 million meals. And, you know, as you know, I'm on the board of the Free Store Food Bank. This is personally very important to me. And it's great to be able to work for a place where your passions are aligned and your values are aligned around community.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. My guest today is Diane Jordan Grizzard. Diane is the Director of Strategic Talent Management with BHDP Architects. And Diane, I know this is a fairly new role for you, but what exactly, in your mind at least, is the Director of Strategic Talent Management?
We make sure that we align the strategy of the business with the people so that the people are developing their careers, their goals, along with the organization's direction and strategy in a way that everybody is growing and achieving the firm's expectations.
And that's a pretty important position, especially, I would think, in a creative business like an architecture firm.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you walk through our offices, there are charrettes going on all of the time. There's brainstorming going on all of the time. There's creativity, collaboration. People are always excited about not only what we're doing for our clients, but what we're making happen for ourselves within the firm.
So how do you take all of this creative, innovative energy and direct it down a common path?
Well, you know, that's not always that easy because everybody has a way of wanting to do something, Crystal. But, you know, when people are so motivated and passionate about the outcome, that's what really allows it all to be channeled because we have the creative opportunity. There's a brainstorming, but we also have the outcome that we're wanting to achieve, which is our clients' expectations and, of course, our own outcomes. We have the financial opportunities that we're trying to reach also.
So a lot of this, I would assume, is just about communicating what the outcome is anticipated to be.
And sharing in that vision.
Well, I think that's amazing. And I know this is new. I hope this goes great for you and you'll have to come back.
Excited about it. BHDP is a wonderful firm. We've been around 75 years. And we know that we have another 75 years to go. We've weathered all types of storms, and we just have a great organization with a great culture, and we're achieving great things for our clients.
And if people would like to learn more about BHDP Architects, they can just go to the website.
Yes. The website is www.bhdp.com.
For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Craig Kurz. Craig is the Chief Executive Officer of the Honey Baked Ham Company of Ohio and also the grandson of the founder of Honey Baked Ham. And Craig, it's obviously a family business. You're in the third generation. I think you are starting to have the fourth generation work in your companies. What advice do you have for other business owners that are maybe still in their first generation and hoping to get the second generation involved?
The first thing, I think you have to stick to what you know and what the core of the business is and the culture. And for us, we have really fostered a family culture. We also have to understand what people want and what their skill sets are. So I'm not going to create a job just because I have a daughter that wants a job. She has to earn it. And in our case, our culture is we start from the ground up. The first thing I did was cut foil and fold brochures when I was about 8 years old. I started glazing hams in the store when I was in the seventh grade. I glazed hams just this past Easter at the Coleraine store here in town to help the store out, to be there. So it's that kind of hands-on. My children, my brother's children have done the same thing. They work our stores, they work our kiosks. We want them on the front lines. You're not going to just sign up and go to the office and get a nice desk and a laptop in front of you. You got to participate, you got to roll up your sleeves.
Well, and it's a great way of getting them to understand whether or not they even want to be in the business, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And in some cases, many of them work the holidays, the fourth generation, and they've chosen different paths. I have a daughter that's in social work right now, but she still is passionate about the business.
Craig, I know your grandfather started this company. He had four daughters mm-hmm. who led the company. One of those daughters was your mother, who was literally the visionary. She is the one who created a lot of the path that the company's taken today. So your whole family works together. How is it that you have your own Thanksgiving holiday, your own Christmas dinner?
My mother established our national licensor, so that actually governs the national system of over 460 stores. Comprising that national system are my aunt and uncle's operation, where my cousins now on a day-to-day basis are leading it, and they have fourth generation. And I have another cousin in the South that does the same thing. So we have dynamics among family members, but we work together. We sit on national boards together. We sit on committees together. If we have differences, we do it with integrity, and we take votes if we need to. So there's a lot of dynamics, even as we extend beyond the Cincinnati office in our family, but the other family members as well.
So you got to tell me, do you talk about business at Thanksgiving dinner?
Heck yeah.
So do we. So do we. And that's part of being a family business, isn't
yes,
it?
And generally speaking, it's numbers. We want to see the numbers. Yeah, yes,
you're
how
talking
did it go?
Right to our hearts right. as CPAs, right? So, well, Craig, thank you so much for being our guest. We're going to continue our conversation tomorrow with Craig Kearse, who is the CEO of Honeybaked Ham. We're going to be talking about philanthropy and the important role that that plays in their company. For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Craig Kearse. Craig is the CEO of the Honeybaked Ham Company of Ohio. And Craig, philanthropy is very close to my heart. I know it's mm-hmm. very close to your heart. It's mm-hmm. a huge part of the culture of the Honeybaked Ham. Maybe you can talk about why it's so important for business leaders to really embrace philanthropy in our community and how you do it.
Yeah, I really believe it has to be part of giving back to the community. And we're blessed to have the business that we're in, and we're blessed actually to be in the food business. So in many respects, what we give is food, and we give thousands of pounds of ham, honey-baked ham, to the Free Store Food Bank every year. We give back in many other ways through fundraising programs, through nonprofits that can operate a fundraiser around the holidays when people are going to buy hams anyway, and here they can buy a ham and give back to an organization that they believe in and that they want to contribute to.
So, for example, we have a nonprofit that we started called Accounting for Kids. It runs in November. So if, for example, my volunteers wanted to participate in this program, or we partnered with Honeybaked Ham, then as my volunteers would buy hams, a percentage would come back to the nonprofit. Is that the way it works?
That's exactly the way it works, and we make it easy and convenient. You sign up for the fundraiser. You can do it online, or you can do it traditional, or in many respects, people are doing both. Traditional means handing out flyers, walking door-to-door potentially, and online. And what we found is when you combine the two, the orders really come in. First-time fundraisers have had great success. We deliver the products on a designated day and time to make it very easy for that group. So taking the hassle out of that fundraiser.
So in other words, if you're going to buy ham anyway, you may as well buy it in part of your favorite charity's mission, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
It's a lot better than magazine subscriptions that you don't really want.
See there? Right.
So again, if folks listening would like to learn more about that particular program or about the Honeybaked Ham Company, where can they find that information?
They can find it on honeybaked4u.com, and there is a tab that indicates fundraising, and it's a great place to go to get information about our fundraising programs.
Well, Craig, thanks so much for being our guest and for everything you do for the community.
Thank you for having me.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.